We come to you this morning thankful that you are exactly who you say. We're thankful that you love us and that you forgive us and that you redeem us. God, we thank you that you are a good, good Father, and your plans are to help us and to strengthen us all along our way. Lord, I pray this morning that you will open up our hearts, that you will show us something we've never seen before, and not only reveal it, but allow us to obey it, God. I pray for inspiration and strength and power for each one of us and every person that will hear this message. Lord, this morning we thank you for the word that will come forth. And by faith, God, we thank you for everything that you're going to accomplish. We pray these things in the mighty, matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen. The scripture this morning will come out of the book of John. John chapter 20, verse 11 through 18. Just for a little bit of the backstory, in this scripture, or these scriptures, when it talks about Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, whom in earlier chapters had been delivered from, the Bible says, seven demons. No doubt she was oppressed. No doubt she was living for the enemy. But Jesus came in and took over the situation out of his goodness and grace. And he delivers her out of these demons. He's had several talks with his disciples. He's been crucified. And this is the part where he's about to reveal himself to the world again as the resurrected king. He's prophesied about that. There's prophets, hundreds and hundreds of prophecies saying that this single event was about to happen. He told them, listen, if you take this temple down, in 3 days I'll build it back up again. He told them in many different ways, some very plain, some needing revelation, that listen, I'm the Christ, I'm the Son of the living God, I'm about to die the third day, I'm coming back with all power, I'm going to have the keys of hell, I'm going to have everything that I said I'm going to have, and I'm going to do this as a sign to everybody to let you guys know that I am who God and who I said that I am. And the very first person that Jesus shows to reveal himself to was Mary Magdalene. Let that sit for a second. You're telling me a lady that's been not only oppressed by devils or demons, but possessed. A lady that the world no doubt has looked at like she's absolutely nothing, like she's crazy, like she will never be anything, probably not a very good reputation in the community, no doubt, because earlier on there was a man possessed with demons and everybody just wanted to get rid of him and kick him out. How many of us this morning can testify that we've been like Mary Magdalene? We felt left out, we felt oppressed or depressed or even possessed. A lot of us have felt like, listen, Lord, I've tried so many times to get something right and I can't. But God intervened out of his goodness into our lives and he changed the situation. Does it mean that we're perfect? Absolutely not. But it does mean that every time somebody asks us, how did you do this? How did you do that? How did you get to this point in your life? We always point back to the Savior. We always point back to the one that lifts our head every morning. We always give credit where credit is due, because I know for each one of us, we would be absolutely nothing without Jesus in our life. I think it's really, really amazing that at the point Jesus is going to show someone, listen, I've done what I said I'm going to do. I think it's amazing he didn't pick Peter. I think it's amazing he didn't pick the disciple whom Jesus loved, Brother John. I think it's amazing that he didn't choose to reveal himself to one of the other disciples. I think it's very, very, very awesome that he chose to reveal himself to Mary Magdalene. And what I want to talk about this morning is, and it's a simple thought, but it's a thought saying, listen, don't settle. Don't give up. Don't think that you're not worth the goodness of God. Because the Bible says that our filthiness is as nasty rags. The Bible tells us that, listen, we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. If it was not for the blood of Jesus, none of us deserve it. But how many of us can say hallelujah this morning that the Father said that we were worth it because the blood of Jesus redeems us from all our sins? I know sometimes when we've been serving God for years and years and years, we get away from the fact that we have to get back to our central point of Christ crucified. It's Christ in me. It's Christ in me is the goodness that I have in my life. It's God loving us. It's God doing all the work. It's God saying that we're worth it. It's God bringing his son back from the dead. And in this scripture this morning, in John chapter 20, verse 11, Mary Magdalene is coming to see what's in the tomb. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Verse 12, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13, then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Jesus already knew the answer to this, but sometimes God will ask us questions so that it will reveal things to us. So many times, even at the beginning, Adam and Eve, God asked them questions. He said, "Listen, how do you know that you're naked? Why are you naked?" You know, all these things. Not because God in his supernatural knowledge and wisdom didn't know the answer, but sometimes God will ask us questions so that we can answer it, and so that will reveal something to us. A lot of times with our kids, if they do something wrong or do something good or whatever it may be, I'll ask Joshua or Isabel, "Why did you do this?" And I know the answer already, but I need to see where their heart's at. I need to see if they'll trust me or Alex enough to give us the honest answer. Because a lot of us this morning, when God asks us a question, it's hard to give an honest answer. Because sometimes when I give God an honest answer, my honest answer is, "Lord, I didn't have enough faith. Lord, I didn't believe what you told me to believe. Lord, I looked at it from a different vantage point. Lord, I didn't understand. Lord, I didn't. And we can get focused on those things, and then we can allow the enemy to come in and beat us down and bring hardships our way. And all of a sudden we're depressed or oppressed or possessed. And we're in these situations not because God was trying to harm us, but because God was trying to show us something. God was trying to show us something, because I know I can speak for me. When God shows me something personally, it's a lot more powerful to me than sometimes hearing somebody else's story. Do I love to hear people's testimony and what God's doing in their life? Absolutely. But I also love when God whispers something in my ear that only he told to me. And there's been times in my life that God has showed me something or told me something that I couldn't even tell anybody else. But knowing that the God of all creation, the God of the universe, spoke a word to me was enough. It was enough to help inspire me and strengthen me. And no doubt in this situation, Mary is confused, and she's sad because she thinks the gardener, she thinks somebody stole the body of the Savior. Everything that she had put hope in, everything that she had believed was going to happen, was not going the way she planned. Brothers and sisters, this morning, don't just read it as a story. Think about it. Think about the person that you put everything that you have, you put all your trust and all your belief and all your love into, is dead. But he told you he wasn't going to be dead, but he is. And now you can't find him. And now all hell is literally breaking loose, and you're nervous and you're scared and you're worried, and you're begging these people, "Listen, please, just please tell me where he's at." And you got a man over here saying, "Listen, who are you looking for?" And it blows my mind that Mary was able to answer his question. Because I know when I'm doing some things in life, I'll get so busy that if somebody asks me a question, I'll be a smart aleck to them, or I'll ignore it, or I won't acknowledge who they are, because I feel like I'm doing something for the Lord.
I feel like I'm so busy trying to get an answer or trying to make things happen that I forget I'm the one in the hands of the good potter. I forget that I'm the clay being shaped and molded. It's not my job to shape and mold anybody. It's not my job to shape and mold myself. My job and your job this morning, brothers and sisters, is to yield to the hands of the potter. It's to yield to the way that God is blowing us with the wind. It's to yield to the goodness of God, because I'll prove to you in this scripture that God is good. And God is wanting to reveal himself to you and me, but sometimes he doesn't do it the way that we want to, not to hurt us, but to help us, not to slow us down or to hold us down, but to tell us that sometimes we're not ready for what's on the other side. Sometimes we're not ready for what's in our path, so God has to slow us down just a little bit. I know a lot of us want things financially and want things to go a certain way with our finances. But I think about a lot of times people that win the lottery, or a lot of these professional athletes, or even college athletes nowadays, get millions and millions of dollars. And then in 2 years, I read about it and they're absolutely broke. They're bankrupt. They weren't prepared for what was coming. They didn't have the wisdom and the knowledge to trust certain people, or they did trust certain people that led them astray. But then I can think about people that I've seen put in the hard work and do the things that they need to do, and now they have more than what they really know to do with. And I'm like, God, which is the better story? Riches overnight or hard work that has now built a dynasty for your family? You see, brothers and sisters, God's not trying to hold you or me in position because he doesn't want to bless us. And I know it feels that way, and it's easy for me to say, but I've been in those situations that I felt like I was ready to go preach to a million people, or I was ready to go prophesy, or I was ready to go do something, or I wanted things financially, but God held me in place, and I thank God for that. Or God had my apostle or somebody that I trusted in the Lord hold me in position until the time was right. Because if I would have been loose too early, then I would have destroyed everything. So this morning, just because God maybe is not allowing things in your life to happen as fast as you want them to, keep trusting in the Lord. The process of the Lord is always the best way. You see, I don't give my kids a $100 bill and send them into the gas station. Absolutely not. Because I know that when I used to sell a lot of drugs and blah, 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 I had a huge problem with gas stations. And I know it seems absolutely ridiculous, but there were weeks, if not months, that every single day I would spend hundreds of dollars in the gas station. Complete waste of money. But the reason I don't do that for my kids is not because I don't want them to have a snack, or not because I don't want them to have some fun. It's because I know it's a waste. I know that it's not good for them. I know that there's potential harm there. So this morning when Mary is talking to whom she doesn't even know, Jesus, he says, listen, who are you looking for? Why are you so sad? And the Bible says in the latter part of verse 15, she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Notice that she was in such a posture of faith. She was in such a posture of being respectful that she didn't condemn the gardener. If I was looking for the risen Savior and I saw somebody coming up to me saying, hey, why are you sad? What are you doing? Just asking me all them questions. I probably be like, listen, leave me alone. I'm doing the Lord's work. Listen, I'm trying to find out where he's at. I probably would have been definitely very disrespectful. But Mary had such a confidence on the inside of her, that she knew that she wanted to find the one that had delivered her. She wanted so bad inside of herself to find the one that had gave her another chance at life. She wanted to find the one that she had seen do countless miracles that the Bible says can't even be recorded in a book because there were so many. She says, listen, gardener, thinking he was a gardener, listen, sir, if you'll tell me where you put him, I'll go get him. I'm not going to be upset that you took him away. I'm not going to be upset that you hit him. I'm not going to be upset that I can't get what I want right now. If you'll just tell me where he's at, I'll go follow the process. And Jesus, in his goodness, says to her, in verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Brothers and sisters, this morning, if you're looking for the Lord or if you found the Lord and you're seeking something from him and you feel like he's hidden, you feel like he's put himself away from you or he's not moving fast enough in this situation, I have good news this morning that Mary, in all her confusion and all her pain and all her watching him being crucified, that I don't even know how she was able to stand to see something like that. It took one word. It took one time, Jesus calling her name, for her to realize who he was. It took one personal moment to forever change the course of history. He didn't say, listen, Mary, it's me, Jesus. He didn't say, listen, it's me. I'm the one that's risen. He didn't do it any other way but to say to her, Mary. He called her by name. He made it personal. And at the instance that Jesus, whom she had been having a conversation with, the very same man that she watched crucified, she thought was the gardener, the very same man that she watched people raise from the dead, she thought to be the gardener. She couldn't see it until he made it personal. This morning, brothers and sisters, sometimes we can't see God until he makes it personal. Until he holds us in place just for a moment, just for a space of time, until we can make it personal, until when he's willing to call out to us, Alan, and I can look back to him. I can look back to him and say, Jesus. He can say, Alex, and she can turn to him and say, Jesus, because there's been times in our past when the world was beating the crap out of us, when the world was pushing down, when the world was taking everything on the inside of us, that Jesus was the one to call our name. Brothers and sisters, this morning I hear him calling our name. At the moment that we were saved, the Bible says that nobody can come to the Father. Nobody can come to the Lord Jesus except called by the Father. He had to call you by name in order for you to receive his salvation. At that moment that he said John or Kevin or Susie or Angel or whomever it may be, at that moment he made it personal. He made you realize that I am exactly who I said I am. And when he had a decision to make this morning, he said, listen, I need to reveal myself to the world. I'm not going to reveal myself to the prophet. I'm not going to reveal myself to John or Peter or James. I'm not doing it. I'm going to reveal myself to somebody that was beaten down by the world, that was depressed and oppressed and possessed by seven devils. I'm going to reveal myself to somebody that the world says is nothing, that the world said will never make it. But hallelujah, this morning, he revealed himself to Mary by saying Mary, by calling her name, by letting her know, listen, I'm still here for you. Yeah, everybody's looking for me. Yeah, everybody's giving up hope, but I'm going to reveal myself to you, and I'm going to do it by calling your name. And that is still the way our Lord and Savior reveals himself. He'll reveal himself to us by saying, Alan. And when I hear the voice of the Lord, I know to listen and try to do whatever he's asking or telling me to do. This morning, brothers and sisters, I have good news. If God Almighty, God incarnate, God in the flesh, Jesus was there when they said, listen, put the stars here, put the moon here, put the water here. This man was there. He was there. He is God. The Bible says that he was God bodily. He was the incarnate Word of God. He was the flesh. He was the Word made flesh. He was it. He's got it going on. He has everything. He can do anything that he wants. He's not compared to anything. Nothing controls him or nothing can help him or hurt him. He doesn't need our praise or our worship. But at the time that he wanted to talk to somebody, he chose Mary. Hallelujah this morning. That's good news. That means he can choose the drug addict. That means that he'll choose the divorcee. That means he'll choose the one that stole or did something bad 5 minutes ago. That means that he's never given up hope on you and me. It's good morning. It's good a message this morning because he said, listen, Mary. And when he said that, it reminded her of his goodness. And she instantly says back to him, Rabboni. Which is to say, teacher, I personally believe that Mary was saying, listen, Savior, listen, Lord, what do you want to teach me this time? Because I believe that she had learned and watched him teach so many lessons that had changed her life and people's lives forever. That she said, listen, if you can teach me something again, if you can teach me something in this moment of sorrow and pain that I'm experiencing, then I know that will be what helps me. I know that will be what delivers me. In closing this morning, I thank God that he's still willing to call us by name. I thank God this morning that he's never given up on you and he's never given up on me. I thank you that when he speaks a word to us that he only has to call us by name. Because the word of God is quick and sharp. And it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It hits us and it has the ability to divide truth from falsehood. It has the ability to correct. It has the ability to inspire and help us along the way. But over the past couple, I don't know, week and a half, I've got back into reading. I'm going to regret saying this, but I absolutely love romance novels, Nicholas Sparks. And I used to read a ton, definitely when I was in prison, I read a ton. My mom would send me books, and I forgot how much I really liked to read. So now I'll read or I'll listen to them through Audible or whatever. And I read a couple of books by Nicholas Sparks over the past week and a half, and I'll talk to my mom about them. And she's read every Nicholas Sparks book ever written. And I'll tell her where I'm at in the book. And I watch how excited she gets when I'll try to figure things out. Or I'll tell her, hey, I've already got this figured out. And she'll ask me questions. And she'll say, like, hey, where are you at in the book? I went over there last night to drop off some medicine. And she's like, where are you at in this book? And I began to tell her. And I had some theories, and she wouldn't confirm and or deny anything that I said. She would just sit there and tell me, keep going. Keep going. I can't wait to talk about it. Keep going. I can't wait to talk about how this happened or that happened or whatever it may be. But she wouldn't help me figure out things. She just looked at me and smiled and would tell me, keep going. And a couple days ago, I did the same thing, and it's happened two or three times with us over the past week and a half. And she'll just look at me and smile or talk to me on the phone, and I know she's smiling and saying, keep going, keep going. And this morning, as I was thinking about the word, God whispered to me again, and he said, that's how I am. And I was confused. And I said, Lord, what do you mean that's how you are? And I began to talk to him and listen, and I was sharing this with Alex this morning. And God told me that, listen, that's the way that I am, like you and your mom are, talking about the books. And he said, listen, when you talk to me about things and I don't answer you, it's not because I'm trying to hurt you or slow you down. It's because I already know the end of the story. Like my mom already knew that this person was going to do this. She already knew the end of the story so she could look at me and smile and say, keep going. And that's what I believe God is telling us this morning. He's looking at us and we're asking him questions and we're not getting answers. He's telling us, don't get frustrated, just keep going. Because he knows the end of the story. He knows how it's going to all work out. The Bible says that all things work together for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. And my mom could smile at me and say, Alan, just keep going. You'll figure it out along the way if you don't stop reading, if you don't stop going, if you don't stop processing the things that are happening. Just don't stop. And I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, to say, just don't stop. If your finances are looking shaky, keep tithing, keep sowing. Just don't stop. If you want somebody in your family or you need to be healed, just don't stop. Please keep going, because I could see the face of my mom looking at me, smiling, saying, just keep going. I believe that is the same way God is looking at us this morning. He's saying, listen, Brother Alan, listen, Brother John, listen, Sister Angel, listen, Sister Alex, don't you stop. Don't you stop. You're almost there. You're almost about to tie it all together, but you got to keep going. When the Savior of the world got up from the grave, the Bible says with all power in His hand, He chose to let somebody know that the world thought was nothing, that had seven devils on the inside of her, that no doubt was ridiculed, made fun of, cast away, thought she would never be anything in life. And I can testify to that this morning. I've had people tell me I'll never be anything and all these things or whatever, and I mess up every day. But God in His goodness said to me, Alan, and this morning He's calling your name, maybe to strengthen you, maybe to help you, whatever it may be, but He's calling. And I hope and pray that you can hear Him. And if you can't, it's not even to beat you down. It's just to say, listen, open your ears, lend your ear to the Spirit of the living God. Because I don't have to tell you what I believe to be right or I believe to be wrong, but I'm telling you, find out for yourself. God has mysteries He wants to whisper to us. Let's pray. Father, we honor You this morning. God, I thank You for the day that You said Mary. I thank You that You called her and let her know who You were when You got out of that tomb, because that shows me today, God, that You'll call my name, that You show me who You are. And I know that You are not a respecter of person. What You do for one, You'll do for another. So I thank You for my brothers and sisters. I thank You that You've called them to great business ideas. I thank You that You've called them to great ideas that will help the community. I thank You that You've called them to be leaders in their family, leaders in the community, leaders in their counties, leaders in their states, whatever it may be, God. I thank You this morning that You're opening our ears so that we can hear what thus saith the Lord our God. Lord God, this morning You are awesome. You're wonderful and You're precious. And I thank You, God, that You're always right there. That God, even when my mom can't smile at me and tell me to keep going, that You are right there to smile and say, keep going. God, I pray that You will give everybody a revelation of You being pleased with us because You see us through the blood of Jesus. I pray that You will not allow people to be depressed or oppressed or possessed because they will know that the blood of Jesus redeems us, makes us righteous before You, Father God. So by faith, I consider these things done. And I pray, Lord, that You will help us to see You more clearly. By faith, consider these things done in You. In Jesus' name, amen.